Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. I'm your host, Delina. Hit that like and subscribe. Welcome to another episode. Okay, so I don't have a lot of time. I've been at work all day, but I said I was going to be more consistent with posting content. Okay, so let me just try that. Okay, because mom, working, all of the things, it's a lot. So today's title is called Mindful Matchmaking. Okay, so this, since I said I don't have a lot of time, this episode is inspired and derived by a conversation that I had with someone that I used to be in a relationship with. We'll leave that there. Now, this is not the relationship podcast, okay? This is not the relationship podcast. But there are times where things are relevant that happens to maybe me or somebody that I'm close to. And I'm like, okay, I need to talk about that on my podcast. And so I was in conversation with someone that I used to be in a relationship with, and he shall remain nameless. But one of the things that came up is this strong personality and this, you know, this, oh, you know, this need to be right and this need to be dominant and in control, right? And so I was just like, okay. So why is it coming up? And I noticed that a couple of my close friends have also been in this, you know, the summer is upon us, you know, everyone's outside. And they've been in conversation with men who love to say, like, some, you know, you're just, your personality is a little bit too strong, you know, you're a little bit too masculine. Oh, you always got to take charge and, you know, all of the things, right? So first of all, I want to just say, we need to normalize a little bit of allowing a woman to be assertive without labeling her as controlling, right? And I do realize as a woman, there's a time and a place to take the lead. And then there's a time to kind of fall back and let your partner take the lead, right? But you can't always be taking the lead if you tearing everything up, okay? If you gonna take the lead, right? But I do realize that there's a balance. So your lady will allow you to take the lead when you show that you are lead worthy. Okay. But I just want to not condemn the ladies for having this strong personality and this take charge mentality. Right. I think that those things can be beneficial in a relationship. Obviously everything should be done with tact and timing and all of the things, but to utilize her dominant personality or her take charge of maybe assertiveness as like a, you know, a frowning thing. It's just a little unfair, right? Now, I have a take charge personality, so maybe I'm a little biased. And from the research I've done, right, the need to be in control all the time and take charge is like a defense mechanism. It sometimes comes from a place of being let down, right? And feeling like, well, I can only depend on me. You don't want me to be in charge, but if I'm not in charge, you tear everything up. So I need to be in charge, right? And so, you know, in my singleness, right, I have learned that it's about balance. It's about give and take, right? It's about allowing opportunities for your partner to prove themselves. So everything I say, obviously there's a flip to the flop. There's, you know, some gray areas and this and that, right? And, you know, if you're a man that's dating a woman that's assertive, you know, I'm not saying that you're on trial, but prove that you can take the reins and follow through, execute what's been discussed without a glitch, right? And I think that the walls will begin to come down. And truthfully, I think it's a little frustrating when people get to that place in dating and, you know, you was looking good in the beginning, you was smelling good, you was just the right height, just the right complexion and all of the things, but now that I got you, maybe you a little bit too much for me. you know, it's that mentality that I can't contort you into this mold of what I think you should be. So let me try to dumb you down a little bit, you know, instead of utilizing and taking in those parts of the personality and using them as attributes, using them, you know, as a way to propel the both of us. Now they're frowned upon. I think men know what kind of woman they're picking, and you knew she was probably strong-willed in the beginning, or he was probably strong-willed in the beginning, but because he drove a nice car, he had a little money in his pocket, you maybe skipped some things. All I'm saying is people that have the strong personalities and they're, you know, they're, they have that take charge personality. All I'm saying is find a way to weave it into your relationship for the good. I just don't think it's fair to get with the person and then try to dumb them down or contort them into less of something because it irritates you. Or maybe them being so assertive forces you to be about your business, you know. And so all of this, you know, made me think, are we spending enough time and are we really choosing our partners wisely? Like, are we really taking the time, you know, that we need to take to get to know the layers of the person? You know, are we mindfully matchmaking? You know, you know, the devil does know how to send somebody just the right height, just the right shade, complexion, you know, wearing the right clothes and all that. And all of that is fine. But when the dust settles off that, like they say, when the honey falls off the moon, right? And you're building, you know, you're getting to know this person, or you're trying to decide if you can build a future. Like, are we spending enough time in that phase? Are we asking ourselves, is this a person I can communicate with? Is this a person I can build a future with? Is this a person I could problem solve with? You know, do we communicate well? Like, are we figuring out solutions? And then are we both compromising and executing the things that we discussed? You know, is this really my teammate? When I'm putting the ball to them, are they putting it back? And are we making it up court? Or are we just like filing out and running around in circles, you know? And I think we get so distracted by like, you know, nice curves and, you know, what kind of car they drive and how much money they make and, you know, all of the glitters. But we don't spend enough time in that phase. A lot of people are getting to know each other through like text message, online dating. Shout out to all the online daters. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, make sure that you have the conversations that you really need to have to determine, like, is this person equipped with the stuff on their tool belt that we gonna need for the long haul? I mean, yeah, you look good, you know, but looks fade. Money comes, money goes. You know, can I communicate? Is this relationship leading me more towards my destiny? You know, more towards the plans that God has for me in my life, like, because his plans is to prosper me and never harm me. So does this really align, you know? Because although the Bible doesn't really give us direction as far as dating in this century, but there are things that, you know, speak to dating, you know, dating with intention, getting to know someone, you know, using our discernment, praying to God, constantly being in tune with our requests and his plan for us. And so, you know, making sure that we cross paths with people that are nudging us into our destiny and not pulling us away, you know. And I talked about this on previous episodes, like just being mindful of how you feel when you're in someone's space, the conversations you're having. You know, I know I've seen a post where someone says, like, if you're around somebody and they give you butterflies, that's probably not a good sign. Now, I don't know, because I don't listen to none of the signs. I just be running towards it. I'm not going there. But anyway, and so all of this made me think, and I was reading the book of Ruth, and you know, everybody's talking like, don't miss out on your Boaz. So I was like, let me read about Boaz and, you know, see what all the hype is about. Now, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar. This is the wrong podcast for that, okay? I'm not a teacher. And, you know, of course, this is not a relationship podcast, but since I've been dealing with this, right, I wanted to lean into, because the Bible is full of poems and poetic stories and all of that. So I was like, let me look and see what story I can find that's like similar to my life, right? And so I was reading the book of Ruth. And so the interesting thing about Ruth is that she had a great relationship with her mother-in-law, who is Naomi, right? Again, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm doing this off the dome, right? Okay, so follow me here. Okay, so you have Naomi and Ruth. So Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. So shout out to all the mother-in-laws, because you know, y'all don't be getting along with the mother-in-laws. But anyway, this was a good story. So Ruth was married to Naomi's son. I sure hope I got this right, right? I think I do. Okay, so Ruth was married to Naomi's son, and the son died. It was actually two of them. They were married to brothers. Anyway, the brothers died. Naomi's husband died. I gotta read more and find out how they died. I sure hope they didn't kill him. Anyway, and so, you know, Naomi was like, listen, I don't have no more sons for y'all. It's time for y'all to live y'all life. Y'all are widows. Y'all got to go find y'all a husband. Like, it's too late for me in the game, but I want y'all to go out here and live your life. Like, my sons have died. I want y'all to grow, you know, old and have a family, have someone. So the one sister-in-law was like, I'm out. You know, I'm all right. You want me to go? I'm going to go. But the interesting thing was Ruth stayed with Naomi and they traveled to another land, right? And I'm fast forwarding all of this because you got to go read it for yourself. Okay. Just go read the book of Ruth. But I want to just say that, you know, they went on this journey. They relocated. Ruth was out here working in the field, okay? She was cleaning up after the harvester. She was, you know, out in the field. And Boaz, right, you know, and I'm ad-libbing, right? So Boaz looks across the field and he like, you know, he asked one of the field foremen or whatever. I don't know what the biblical term is for him, okay? But he asked, like, who lady is that? You know, and that is something I need to point out, because like Boaz noticed her. He noticed her. Ladies, is the mic on? He noticed her. She out in the field sweating, okay, cleaning. She probably had on one of them long dresses. Okay, and she's sweating. She's all of that. But he noticed her from wherever she was doing. She was working hard and, you know, maybe that captivated him. I don't know. But he found out who she was. You know, I'm sure the old dude, the foreman, was probably like, oh, yeah, you know, that's Naomi, you know, daughter-in-law and her husband. You know, she a widow now. So he like, oh, word. I mean, this is not the way it went. But my point is he was drawn to her and, you know, the Bible speaks about how she had all these great attributes. Like, she was hardworking. She was loving. She was admirable. She was just pure. She was authentic. And her personality traits stayed the same. So in her singleness, she was perfecting herself, I imagine. Because, I mean, I'm sure as a widower, I don't even know, a widow. I'm going to just say she was a widow. She was a widow, and I'm sure she went through this period of time where she had to work on herself and develop her attributes and her qualities and fine-tune them and perfect them, right? And so whatever she worked on was able to project itself in this field. She's working and sweating. And this man was able to look out in the field and just observe her. And, you know, it was something different that stood out about her. And that's what I'm saying. In our singleness, it's not like it's not an inferior time, right? Our singleness is meant to mold us. It's meant to shape us. It's a period of growth. It's a period of stretching, right? It's a time where we perfect some deficits, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, Ruth being a widower had time to do that, right? So she meets Boaz, and the interesting thing is her mother-in-law wasn't hating. Her mother-in-law was like, listen, go, you know, talk to him, like put yourself in his path, like, you know, he's a good guy, like ain't no shade, no judgment, no indictment over here. And I think that speaks to their relationship as well, you know. In my future, I want a mother-in-law like Naomi. But anyway, Naomi and Ruth had a good relationship, and she meets Boaz, and you know, he's like, I heard about you. You know, I heard that you left your home behind. Boaz was called like the kinsman redeemer. So that was back in the day when, you know, there was a widow, right? There would be someone in the lineage of the family that would step forward and, you know, make sure that, you know, they were good or whatever. But it so happened that he saw all these attributes in her that he liked. Because again, while she was a widow and going through her singleness, I'm sure there was things that she learned. There were things that she had to be assertive on. There was emotions and feelings she had to work through, you know, and here she is. She done found herself. She done left her home. She done traveled. She out there gleaning in the field. She gleaning in the field. I don't even know what gleaning is, but it sound like it was hard work. Okay. And you know, here come Boaz. Now Boaz is wealthy. He's a leader. And he believes in, you know, guiding people, and he's foreseeing this land. He's a man, you know, that I would think is desirable. You know, I could just imagine him looking out and overseeing and running things. And I'm like, okay, yes, okay. But let me just read a little bit. It says, spotting her in the field, right? He learned of her loyalty to Naomi, which was her mother-in-law. And so he proactively protected her, ensured her safety, provision, like I said, you know, offering her water, making sure she stayed hydrated. I told you, you know, he was like, girl, come on, get some of this bread and some wine vinegar. You know, he wanted to feed her because, you know, he wanted to make sure she good, you know. So all of that, not only was he wealthy and he was a leader, which means he was smart, right? But he went the extra mile to make sure she was, you know, she felt safe. She felt loved, you know, she felt secure, you know, like, because had she worked in another field, you know, the potential of her being hurt, you know, could have happened. And so, you know, I say all that to say, Boaz wasn't intimidated by her. He didn't come up there, why are you gleaning in the field like that? Why you gotta clean up the harvest like that? You know, why you walking around with an attitude? You know, he wasn't doing all that. He saw her working hard. He had heard about her attributes, and he was like, who is that? You know, he never was intimidated by what she had been through in a previous relationship. He knew that obviously she was widowed, and he did go to someone and seek their approval in the family and make sure, you know, that it was okay for him to pursue her, right? But I say all that to say that he saw what he wanted, he observed her, and he went after it. Shout out to Boaz. Where is my Boaz? Where is he? Is he watching? Is Boaz watching? Okay. Shout out to Boaz. Met her, fell for her, and the interesting thing is, you know, I'm sure she had some attributes that made her have you know, a sense of know it about herself, you know, a sense of pick me up, a sense of assertiveness about her. And he wasn't intimidated by that. He wasn't off put by that. You know, he also was able to recognize the good attributes about her. And it just brought me back to that beginning phase of taking that time and really getting to know somebody, you know, in the attributes that they have, and being mindful with your matchmaking, being mindful with your selection, being mindful about the conversations you have, the text messages you exchange, and really asking yourself, you know, what attributes do they have that is going to help us long term? You know, are they a good communicator? If he told you he was going to call you at 6:30 and it's 7:30, he ain't called. You know, it's like, all right, maybe he got held up, but did he shoot a text like, hey, I ain't forgot about you. I'm handling something real quick, but I'm hit you up when I get home, when I get settled, you know. Or vice versa. I mean, is she a woman of her word? You know, does she have integrity? Is she transparent? Is he transparent? You know, we had a misunderstanding, but how do they handle the misunderstanding? Are they yelling? Are they cursing? Are they being disrespectful? You know, how can I solve and resolve things with this person? You know, and it just really made me wonder, like, are we spending enough time in the dating phase? Because if you've been kicking it with me for a year and now you're talking about your personality is just a little bit too much, you know, you just got to be in control. But you knew this about me, or did you, in the first month or two? Like, I am who I am. And, you know, leading and being led and being willing to submit, of course, that's a whole burrito maybe we may get into down the line. Because, again, this ain't the relationship podcast, okay? But, you know, I just wanted to drive the principle home of mindful matchmaking and just taking time to really get to know people with a purpose, with discernment, in the most authentic way. And that is why, I know in a previous episode, I said, well, I believe, you know, you can date more than one person at a time. And, you know, I got some feedback like, really, you date more than one person? Because to me, dating is dating. Like, I'm now putting together all the conversations that we've had over the phone, all the FaceTime conversations, right? All of the text messages. And now I'm taking that knowledge, those experiences, those thoughts. And now I'm enjoying you in this element and trying to see if there's a spark, if there's a match, you know, and that's not to say that I can't be in that space with another person. You know, maybe I went on a date last week. Maybe I went bowling and that was like, you know, but now I'm here. We're going somewhere else. And I'm just trying to really get to know you. To me, dating is really just getting to know the person. And although the Bible doesn't break down the step by step, however, I'm gonna motivate you to be intentional, right? Dating with discernment, okay? Dating with a purpose. I mean, the Bible does speak to the fact that, you know, marriage and becoming one should be, you know, the end goal. So with that, you know, there are steps and there are phases, and if we rush through them, I don't know how much mindfulness in our matchmaking would be going on then, because in the beginning, it's very easy to get that surge and that rush because we're caught up on the surface things in the beginning, right? And then I just thought it was beautiful that Boaz could see this particular woman, you know, in a field of other women, because I'm sure there were other women in the field, right? And you know, he began observing her, which I've said many times before. Men are natural born hunters. They know what they want. They know what they like. And they pursue what they want and they pursue what they like. And I love that Ruth was in a space where she could recognize him. And when I say recognize him, she recognized him recognizing her. You know, and it wasn't about anything crazy. It was just about, you know, him offering protection, him, you know, making sure she had enough to drink. And, you know, he like, girl, come on, get some of this bread and dip it in this wine vinegar. Okay. And I was like, yes, you got to feed him. Come on, Boaz, with the food, you know, because he knew how to get out there. She was working in that field all day. He like, come on, let me give you some of this wine vinegar. Wine vinegar is probably like a dip or oil. Calm down, you know. You know, but it's that part. It's that offering that safe space. Cause he definitely had, you know, he had Ruth in her soft girl era, even though she was out there in that field. Okay. Harvesting that field. She came off that field, got something to drink and got some of that bread with that wine vinegar. She was like, thank you. But you know, it's that, you know, creating that soft place to land. So, you know, if you have someone that is assertive, you know, that does have that, you know, need to be in control personality, right? I love that he was just patient with her and he created a soft space for her to land, right? So with that, I'm encouraging myself and you, right, to be mindful of your matchmaking. Take the time. Get to know them in the literal sense beyond just texting, right? Get to know their tone, their cadence. Observe them. Just like Boaz was observing Ruth in that field, okay? Okay? Read the book of Ruth. It ain't that long because I know your attention span is real, real short, okay? It's only like 3 or 4 chapters. So if you're curious about Ruth and Boaz and all of that, go and read the book of Ruth, right? And put in the comments. So what is your way of mindful matchmaking? When you first get to know somebody, you prefer to text or you prefer talking in the literal sense? What's your idea of a first date? Do you like to go to the movies on the first date? Or do you like to go somewhere where you can really talk and kind of observe? Do you plan the first date around some of the conversations that you've been having? Like if you know she don't like museums, you will plan the first date at a museum or a concert where it's too loud to hear. Be mindful in your matchmaking. That's all I'm gonna say. Okay. Don't miss out on your Boaz. And men, y'all need to be more like Boaz. Take time. Observe that woman from across the room, right? And when you talk to her, don't just be looking at legs, hips, body, right? Don't just be looking at that. Take time to really observe and get to know her and, you know, ask those character seeking questions and spend time in her element, you know, spend time in his element, you know, observe so that you can see if all those things y'all been talking about on the phone is for real. Okay. Cause if not, you won't be mindfully matchmaking. That's it. I gotta go because I'm tired. I done worked all week and I got some other things to do. Thank you so much for watching. Put in the comments, what's your idea of mindful matchmaking? Like, what do you look for in a mate? What do you look for? How do you plan the first date? Do you even date? Are you observing your woman like Boaz did? I don't know. Drop it in the comments. And come on back next week to catch another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. All right. That's it. I'm out. See you next week.